Hello everyone, thanks for joining us today. I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have our featured speaker, Andreas Chelman, Senior Program Manager of Active Directory here, to discuss extending on-premises identities to the cloud. Just to note, we'll be making a copy of this webinar available to all of you after the live event for future reference. And if you have any questions during the presentation, please submit them, and we'll carve out 10 to 15 minutes at the end to answer as many of these as we can. And with that, I'll hand it over to Andreas.
Great. Thank you, John. So as John said, my name is Andreas. I'm a program manager in the Active Directory team, and what I'm focusing on is about onboarding customers to the cloud with Azure Active Directory and Office 365. So this presentation is going to have a few sections. The first thing I'm going to talk about is why do we even care about extending on-premise identities to the cloud at all? So what we have today is a really an industry megatrend where mobility is everywhere. Users have devices, they take the devices, they bring them to the work, and we see more and more devices. And this is obviously causing a problem for us from an IT perspective, because now our users, they have their devices and they have their apps and they want to access the data from really, really everywhere. From an IT perspective, we obviously want to control our users. So we can actually protect our data and we can get some order in this. From a Microsoft perspective, we call this enterprise mobility. And there are several different ways we are working on to actually solve this problem. So if we're looking at this donut, you can see we have a few different ways to actually take and make some order in this chaos. So if you look at this donut, we have desktop virtualization, which allows us to bring in applications to the end user's device without installing any applications directly on the device. We have access and information protection, which allows us to protect data and information so it isn't leaving the devices and organization we want. We have device management, which is all about making sure that the devices being used by our users are in a healthy state. And finally, and what we're going to talk about today, is hybrid identity. So hybrid identity is the idea that we can take in an identity from on-premises and also have it in the cloud. So the reality we have today is really a chaotic view where users have all the devices. They are trying to access all the SaaS services in the cloud, if it's Microsoft services or Google, Amazon, or whatever it is. And this is really the enterprise mobility as it is today. It used to be in the good old days, we could protect all our application and services with firewalls, but that is not the case anymore. So we need new ways to actually make sure we can protect services and can also bring some order in this chaos. From an end user perspective, it's also not very user friendly because usually what I end up with is every application I need to access in the cloud, I have another username and password. What I probably will do is I will reuse the same username and password on as many services as I can. But if I had to change my password on one application, well, it usually all the pieces in my domino will just fall over and I have to change it all over in all different places. So what are we doing from Microsoft to actually help with this picture? So as I said, the new control plane will instead be identity. So rather than the old ways where we used to do firewalls, etc., identity is the new control plane. And what most of you will have is an identity on premises. You probably use something like Active Directory today or some other LDAP server like OpenLDAP, for example, where you have your identities. And what you will need is access to all these SaaS applications, as I mentioned earlier, Google, Concur, Box, Dropbox. And we are basically giving you Azure Active Directory to bring order to this chaotic picture. So what we're offering as Microsoft Azure Active Directory is the ability to establish one connection from on-premises to the cloud where we do both identity synchronization and authentication. And then from as a service, we will make sure we do the single sign-on from Azure Active Directory to these different services. That makes it a lot easier from an IT perspective. There's only one connectivity you have to manage moving forward, and Microsoft will instead take care of single sign-on and synchronization to all these other applications we have out there. So that was just giving you an idea of why do we even care about hybrid identity. It's all about making it easier for our end users to actually access our SaaS application services, and also from an IT to give us the control over this. So with that, we'll actually go into the meat of this session, which is going to be about how we actually do this. So how do we actually make hybrid identity real? So if we're looking at the different components which is involved in building this hybrid identity, I'm going to start from the very left here, where it says on-premises. Let's see if we can. So I'm going to start from this picture on the very, very left, where it says on-premises, where you probably have something like Active Directory. If you're looking at this, you probably have an identity management solution already today, such as Forefront Identity Manager, which is synchronizing identities from your different stores into Active Directory. The next version of Forefront Identity Manager is going to be called Microsoft Identity Manager, and it has already been announced. And that is something you will still keep and have on-premises. So that is not something that is going away. You're still going to manage your on-premises systems. If you go to the far right, you will see Azure Active Directory, and you can see that what we will do is we'll offer the possibility to do authentication with a bunch of different SaaS providers out there. Today we support about 2,500 different SaaS applications, so it's likely that the applications you are using are already supported. If not, we'll happily add those as well. Authentication can be through federation, or what is quite common also is password form filling. So we can basically act as your password vault, and from an end user perspective, you get a single sign-on experience. We can also do provisioning and deprovisioning for the major SaaS applications you have, such as Salesforce and Box, etc. If we look in the middle here, we have something I refer to the identity bridge. Identity bridge is basically a Gartner term that is, okay, what is that I need to deploy on-premises to basically build this hybrid identity? And I'm shortly going to introduce you to Azure AD Connect, which is our tool, product to actually build this. And it will include two components today. One is identity synchronization, and the other is the authentication piece. And authentication can be either through password synchronization or through federation. So today, if you have been doing this before, there's a bunch of questions we receive from customers. So how do I actually do this? Which tool am I supposed to use? Am I using DoorSync? Are there other third-party systems I'm going to use? There are a lot of documentation I need to read for this. Am I going to really depend on federation, or can I just use password synchronization? Or how is this really going to work? And what I'm going to tell you that we're going to simplify this a lot. So moving forward, what we are offering is what we call the Azure Active Directory Connect tool. And I'm going to show that in just a few steps. And this is actually a tool that allows us to onboard to the cloud very, very easily through a few different steps. And the first thing I'm going to show you is how to use the Express settings, which is what most of our customers is going to do. This will be if you're a single forest customer and you really want all your identities to show up in the cloud. And with this, we're actually going to use the password synchronization. So we're going to take the hashes in your on-prem Active Directory, and we'll synchronize them up to Azure Active Directory, which will give us the single sign-on experience. So with that, let's actually look how do a demo and see how easy it is to connect to Azure Active Directory. All right, so what you see now is Microsoft Azure Active Directory Connect. This product is currently in preview. That means that you can actually go to connect.microsoft.com and get the early view of this product. I should say that what I'm going to show you today is the next preview. So if you go there today, you'll actually find an older version of it. So I'm going to show you what's coming in next. So in this situation, what we're going to do is onboard a single Active Directory forest on-prem, take all the users and groups I have in my on-prem Active Directory, and make sure they are in Azure Active Directory. So yes, I am going to agree to the license terms. So here's a few of the prerequisites we need for to be able to establish this relationship. This looks good, so I'm guessing click install. And I'm now being asked, okay, so what's the credentials in my Azure Active Directory tenant? And this tenant is the same tenant if you have Office 365 already today. These are the credentials. So in my case, it's admin at controlso on microsoft.com. And I'm going to enter my password. And basically what to say, I'm going to use Express Settings right now, which is going to install the synchronization engine on this server I'm running this tool from right now. We are going to synchronize identities, and then we are going to start basically synchronize. So I'm going to click the Express Settings. So now I need to know credentials on my on-prem Active Directory. That was basically it. So yes, I'm fine with this. I'm going to click install. That configures the synchronization engine, and we're done. So I'm just going to click exit here, and then we are effectively done with this installation. All right, so that is actually how easy it can be to onboard to the cloud. However, this was for a customer who is really, really simple, which is, to be honest, most of our customers. So 80% of our customers will actually fall into this bucket. But what if I'm not that easy? I actually have something more advanced. I actually have multiple forests. I might have non-active directory I need to connect to. What do I do in that case? Well, in that case, I'm going to show you the same wizard again, but I'm going down a different path. So you will actually see how we can make even those scenarios really, really, really easy. So I'm going to go back to my machine, and while I was talking, I actually reset the machine. So I'm actually back to a clean state. So I'm again going to agree to my license terms. I'm going to install my prerequisites. I still need to log on to my tenant. But this time I'm going to go down the customize path instead. So with this customized path, we are going to ask you, how do you want to do your authentication? Most customers will go the password synchronization path, which is absolutely the easiest. In some cases, you might want to use a single sign-on solution, such as ADFS. Just to show you how easy it actually is to install ADFS, in case you choose to do so, I'm going to select single sign-on in this case. And for this, I'm going to need a Windows OS 12R2, so I'm being informed here of what's the prerequisite for this to actually work. But we'll start with actually connecting to our on-premises directories. So you can connect to Active Directory, or you might be able, you might want to connect to another LDAP directory, such as an open LDAP directory. In my case, I'm going to use Active Directory. Here's a forest we have already found. So in this case, there are two forests that we have found a trust to. So those are being pre-populated. In case I have forests which I do not have a trust to, but I still want to connect to, I can just type in a value in this field. But in this case, I actually do want to connect to controls.com. So I'm going to enter my credentials to this forest. I'm adding my first forest. And in this case, I actually have more than one forest. It happened to be I acquired a company called ProSware a couple years ago. So I actually have two forests in my environment. There is a trust between the two, so I can use the same administrator credential in this case. So in this case, even if I have multiple Active Directories, it's still very, very easy to onboard. I have some optional features I can enable. Exchange Hybrid is what I will enable in case I have more than about 1,000 mailboxes. So if I want to move from my on-prem Exchange to Exchange Online, Exchange Hybrid allows me to take 10 mailboxes a day and move them in a slow pace. AD application attribute filtering will actually give me some new options here to the left. This will allow me to review which attributes are going to be synchronized from on-premises up to Azure Active Directory and also limit the attributes in case there are some attributes I'm really, really concerned about. The different write-back options here allows me to have some of these services delivered from the cloud instead. So password write-back allows me to do offer self-service password reset in the cloud and to my end users. And password changes and password resets events happening in Azure Active Directory will be written back to my on-prem Active Directory. Traditionally, you have been using other tools for password reset, and Forefront Identity Manager is one of the tools. But in this way, I can actually just have this delivered to me as a service instead. User write-back, as you can see, this is a preview feature. This allows me to create users directly in Azure Active Directory. So one of the other trends is HR systems are moving up to the cloud as well. And I can have something like Workday. It's an HR system being used a lot here in the US. And I can have Workday create users directly in Azure Active Directory. And then I'm going to write back those users to on-premises. And it allows me to very easily establish a relationship with my HR systems and still have this unified way of managing my identities, both on-premises and in the cloud. Group write back allows me to manage my groups in the cloud. So if I don't want to add members to the different groups and or do all that from an IT, I can offer a self-service portion to the end users. And you will see that this is integrated with Office 365. So in Office 365, we have something called groups that allows you to create a group that is used both in Exchange and the SharePoint. And I can also take that group and have it available on-premises. And finally, device write-back. So another trend is that is devices, obviously. And we want devices to be available both on-premises and in the cloud, so we can do things like conditional access on them. We can have the device management in the cloud, but still have the device available on-premises. And in my case, I'm going to select them all. The next picture is asking us, okay, so how are your identities on-premises? So in my case, I selected multiple forests. But at this time, we don't really know how is actually your multiple forest organized. Is it that you have an account resource forest topology? Is it like in my case, I have two forests and I have a gal sync between the two? Or is it, as in the first option, well, I actually have two forests, but the use is only represented once. In my case, I'm going to use the second option. My identities are actually represented in multiple directories. So what are the different topologies we actually support here, and what are these options asking? So let me just quickly go back to a slide that actually explains this and just show some common topologies. So as I talked about, the separate forest topology would be the first option, where even if I have two forests, each object would be represented as its own object up in abstracted directory. The other common one is a forest with gal sync, which is a user in one forest is represented as a contact in the other forest. In this case, I want to make sure I only represent the user once up in abstracted directory. So in case the mail attribute is the same for two objects, I'm going to basically join them together. I'm going to match them and represent them only once. We also support the ability, like in an account resource forest topology, where I have an enabled account in an account forest, and I have a disabled account in resource forest. And in the resource forest, I have my exchange and link. And in this case, what happens is that the linked mailbox in my resource forest will have the object SID from the account forest in the MS Exchange master account SID. So what we are doing here on this page, if you go back to our wizard, is just trying to figure out what is your actual topology. In my case, I have two forests with gal sync. I'm going to say pick the mail attribute. That means that the users and contacts are going to be joined together and represented only once. The next thing is saying, okay, so how do I want to identify my users in Azure Active Directory? So first concept is called the source anchor, which is which attributes is uniquely going to identify my user during the lifetime of that object. In this case, I go to pick the same account name. By default, you will probably can pick something like the object GUID, which if you don't move users between forests, would also be unique. The user principal name allows me to select which attributes do I want my users to use when they log into Azure Active Directory. By default, we pick the user principal name in on-prem Active Directory, but it could be that your user principal name in AD is non-routable. It might end with a .local, or it might be something the users don't know. In that case, I can pick another attribute. So I'm actually going to pick the mail attribute because I really want my end users to log on with mail because that is what they really know. I also have the ability, since I selected a little bit earlier, to select which services I'm actually using. So I can actually limit it. So in case, for example, I'm not using link, I can unselect link from this page, and in that case, attributes on premises that are related to link will not be synchronized. In this case, I'm going to pick everything. I can also see which attributes are being synchronized, and if there are some particular attributes I'm really concerned about, I don't want to synchronize, I can unselect those as well. So that was what we needed for synchronization. Now, since I selected to also install ADFS, I will quickly walk you through how easy it actually to deploy ADFS. In this case, I do not have ADFS at all installed, so I actually going to install the service as well. So I'm going to install the new Federation server farm. The only thing we'll need for this is an SSL that we can use. This SSL is protected by a password. And I had fat fingers. Let's try that again. There we go. I need a server. I'm going to deploy just one server right now. If I want to deploy multiple, I just browse for the server and add it here. Web application proxy allows me to publish services out to the internet. I'm just going to add one server here. I'm good with one server for now. Now to actually be able to configure ADFS remotely, I'm going to need some credentials. And the service account. In this case, I want to manage service account in Active Directory. So I'm going to select that option. That was what we needed for ADFS. That is really how easy it can be to enable ADFS. So the next thing we are going to do is just enable federation in the cloud. So in my tenant, I have a few different domains I have verified, and I really want the contoso.com domain to be federated. So I'm going to select that and click Next. And that's basically it. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to click Install. And this is now when everything is happening. We're installing Synchiny, we are configuring it, and we are down. I'm going to verify that everything has been correctly configured, and it says it has been. And that's basically it. So that's really how easy it is to onboard to the cloud. So, but before you actually got started, there are a few things you really should do in this as well. So first thing is you want to run a tool called IDFix. It basically goes through your data and makes sure your data is reasonably clean to actually be pushed to Azure Active Directory, so you don't have a lot of data with duplicate mail addresses to use this with the same login ID, etc. You want to verify your domain, in my case, contoso.com. So we actually, when we synchronize the data, we will get the correct login ID already from the beginning. A common confusion is the difference between an Office 365 subscription or an Azure subscription. So most of our customers start with Office 365. They just get a change online, for example, and then they try to go to Azure, and you get an error message, you don't have an Azure subscription. But if you have an Office 365 subscription that's paid, you just go to that the link, aka.msaccessaad, and that will give you an Azure subscription for free, a $0 subscription, and you can, in that case, also access the Azure portal without entering a credit card. The other thing you need, obviously, to decide before you do the installation is what I call the alternate login ID, which I showed in the wizard. Which attribute do you want to use for your users to log in? And the immutable ID, which I showed was on the same page, which attribute is immutable due to the lifetime of the object. By default, we will select the object GUID, but if you're moving users between your different forests, you want to pick a different attribute. So for example, here at Microsoft, we actually have the employee ID in one of the extension attributes, and that is what we use. So what is it we're not doing with Azure AD Connect? So we are only configuring what I showed earlier in the box called the Identity Bridge. You still have FIM 2010 or MIM vNext for on-premises. AD Connect is not trying to do anything with that. And also when it comes from Azure Active Directory, to establish a relationship with other SaaS applications and establish both synchronization and synchronization, all that is done inside Azure itself. So Azure AD Connect will not try to do anything in that area. So let me talk a little bit more about the features and scenarios we support out of the box. So for synchronization, We support the single forest, which I showed you, but we also support many of the multi-forest scenarios. So like the fully mesh, where you have accounts and resource mailboxes everywhere. We also support the true account resource forest topology. If you have more than one, today we support one exchange organization. We are working on also supporting multiple exchange organizations on premises. If you have multiple forests, we will resolve your group memberships if you have security groups through both the forest security principles but also through the contacts. So in those cases, you will get the correct group representation up in Azure Active Directory. This could be important if you use SharePoint Online, for example, and you want a security group on premises to be correctly represented in Azure Active Directory. Filtering. So in my cases, I basically just took all my objects on premises, and I was happy with that. But it could be that you actually do not want to synchronize all your identities up to the cloud. In that case, you can do filtering, so you can go in and say, I do not want to synchronize this domain, or on an OU level, you say, I only want to synchronize the following OUs, or I do not want to synchronize users groups in this OU. You can also do filtering based on attributes. So it could be that you only want to synchronize users that is in the department IT, for example, and that is something you can configure as well. Passwords. So we do support password synchronization from either single forest or from multiple forests, and this is the default configuration. And we have some assumptions when it comes to the default configuration, and you can read them here on this slide. So when it comes to licensing, so I showed you the sync engine being installed. And this is actually included in the license for Azure Active Directory itself. And by default, Azure Active Directory is free. That means that the sync engine you install as part of AD Connect is also free of charge. If you want any of the write-back scenarios, in that case, you will need an Azure Active Directory Premium license, which also enables those scenarios up in the cloud. So there's no additional cost for Azure Active Directory sync to enable these scenarios. Just a note, and that is that if you're using FIM 2010 and you want to continue using that, FIM 2010 would still require license if you want to use that. However, if you use Azure Active Directory Premium in that or the EMS suite, in that case, the licenses for FIM 2010 is actually included in that as well. So what are my different sign-in options? I've been talking about the difference between password synchronization and federation. So by default, you will use password synchronization. I'm now going to talk more about password synchronization on the next slide, what it actually is about. But it really is taking the password hashes you have in on-prem Active Directory, hash them again, and send them to Azure Active Directory. Single sign-on with ADFS is just an option. Most of my customers do not use ADFS, and they do not really need ADFS. There are a few scenarios where you would need it. So one is AD integration or security policy. It could be, for example, that I only want my users to be able to log in at particular hours, so I had set login restrictions on my users in my on-prem Active Directory. It could also be that I require smart card authentication, and for that reason, I want ADFS as well, or another multi-factor authentication as well. But as I said, most customers will go with just password synchronization. So what is password synchronization? So password synchronization is taking your password in Active Directory and hash it again. So it's not the actual password which are being synchronized up to Azure Active Directory. And since your password is being mastered on-premises, all your password policies are still being applied. So the complexity of the password, the history requirements, they're all being mastered on-premises. And Azure Active Directory will just have a copy of the hash of the hash, so we can log in and verify the user in this case. Since this is a double hash, these hashes are not cannot be reused for any of the passive hash attacks that's being used a lot these days. These hashes are not cannot be used in any of the on-premises directories. It cannot be used for anything else than being consumed by Azure Active Directory. But passive synchronization can also be a backup for Federation. So if you want ADFS, it might be you only want a single ADFS installation. You don't want a high availability solution. And in that case, you can use password hash synchronization as a backup. So in case you lose your Federation service, you can just quickly switch over to password password validation in Azure Active Directory instead. And in that case, your users won't really see the downtime. So with that, try to just see a little bit future on what is it we're actually going to do in the future. So I've been talking about Connect, which is still in beta, but even as such, there are a few things that's coming. So I showed you a few checkboxes that was marked preview in the wizard. And those are obviously things we're going to support. So write back all passwords, devices, groups, and users. I also showed you briefly that we will support connecting to a non-Active Directory LDAP directory, such as OpenLDAP. Another thing that is being asked a lot is, how do I actually extend the schema in Azure Active Directory? And today, the schema in Azure Active Directory is a fixed schema, and you cannot extend it. But that is coming as well. We call that directory extensions. And what you will be able to do is pick attributes you have in your on-prem Active Directory, and we will allow you to extend that schema in Azure Active Directory, and then consume those, for example, in your own line of business applications. And one thing that we are doing is what we call quarantine. So if you use today, if you're trying to onboard, if there are two users with the same login ID, for example, the second user will not appear at all in Azure Directory. You will get an error. We're going to release this restriction a little bit, so we'll start allowing data that hasn't been cleaned up, and then we can still easier onboard or all the data up to Azure Active Directory. And then we can actually start cleaning up the data later, but at least I have populated my directory. And that actually concludes the primary portion of this section, and we are now back to Q&A. So, John, do we have any questions?
Yes, yeah, no, thanks to everyone for submitting questions along the way. I just want to note, you know, if you haven't submitted a question yet, feel free, and we'll try to get to it in the next 15 minutes or so. So, Andreas, we've gotten a few questions around security. Just any thoughts you could share around, you know, how Microsoft protects IDs that are synced with Azure Active Directory?
Sure. So these are obviously stored in a data center, and the data is actually encrypted. So not only we as Microsoft actually do not really have access to your data, it's your data, and you actually can do whatever you want with them. So they are being encrypted, the data.
Great, thanks. You also have some questions around joining an Azure VM to a domain with just Azure AD synchronized. Is that, you know, is it feasible to join a VM to the domain if you just synchronized Azure AD with an on-prem version of AD?
So it is today. So an Azure Active Directory, Azure Active Directory is a little bit different than on-prem Active Directory. So as it stands today, we do not allow you to join anything to Azure Active Directory. But it's something we've heard a request from, so it's something I'll take that as feedback. It's something we'll investigate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Is it possible to select different authentication per AD forced?
It is possible. So it could be, for example, you want federation with one forest and passive synchronization from a different forest. The wizard I just show you will not allow you to do that, so that would fall into the advanced configuration option. But yeah, if that is required, we can certainly work with you and figure out a way to do that.
Great, thanks. Next question, can you key off or designate custom attributes in place of a SAM account?
So there's absolutely a different way to customize your configuration. So I picked up SAM account name, but we allow you to configure a lot of things. And we actually have more documentation. So if you want to know more about what you can and cannot customize, you can go to WACWAC, aka.ms, WAC, AAD sync, like in Azure Directory sync. So aka.ms, WAC, AAD sync. And you can get all the documentation for what you can customize when it comes to a day-to-day synchronization. And yes, you can pick another attribute, absolutely.
Great. So it looks like a couple more questions are coming in here. So we've got a question here from Brian. I'm at a small company with a single on-prem AD server. I do not subscribe to Office 365. Can I use AD to connect, AD Connect to sync to Azure AD, allowing for Azure federated logins using my synced passwords?
Yeah, absolutely. So Azure Active Directory by itself is free. Well, it's free up to 500,000 objects, and you said it's a small company. So you do not need Office 365. You can actually just go to Azure, sign up for a trial. That will give you a trial for Azure, but the Azure Active Directory you get for it is your forever. So yes, you can actually just synchronize with Azure Active Directory, and then up to 10 applications you can federate up for free per user, 10 applications per user, and that will also be for free. So yes, you can get many of these things absolutely for free.
Great. Next question from Richard. How small is the AAD Connect footprint? Does it require a separate server, or can it be installed in a standalone DC?
Excellent question. So the footprint is not very large. The main thing that we're going to lay down is the sync and embeds itself. And you can install it either on a domain controller. That works just fine. There's actually many of the smaller customers will do that. You can install it on the member server if you prefer, or in some cases you can even you even want to install it on a server that is not even a member, you have to complete a standalone. So you have several different options, but the standalone DC will work just fine.
Great, and you know, it looks like we've got a few questions around SSO here. Would you be able to, you know, maybe provide an example of how SSO works with, you know, Salesforce.com, or just kind of walk through SSO more generally?
Yep, absolutely. Yes, I will happy to do that. So in Azure Active Directory, we actually have our own federation server. So what you will do as an end user is you log into Azure Active Directory, and that could be either through ADFS or just a password or some other third-party provider. It might be you're in education, use Shibboleth, for example. In that case, what you will do is from Azure Active Directory is that you just click through, hey, I want to integrate with Salesforce, and that is basically a 2 or 3 step process that is essentially us exchanging certificates between Azure Active Directory and Salesforce.com, and then you click done, and that is basically it. And there's nothing else you have to do. We will take care of the federation relationship moving forward. So there's nothing you have to do to maintain that relationship. So it could be actually that the users log in with a single sign-on with a username and password to Azure Directory, but they're actually being federated from us in Azure Directory over to Salesforce.
Great. So next question from Mark. What is the best way to prototype these features without affecting production installations?
So what most of our customers do is they actually have a separate tenant. So they actually have two tenants in Azure Directory. One is a production tenant, and one is their QA or test tenant. And they also installed another sync engine in parallel. It could even target the same production on-prem Active Directory. They just pick a different attribute where I select use the principal name. Rather than using use the principal name, you pick another attribute, which would be the login you will choose if you want to log into your test tenant instead. And then just do the same thing, but from this other test tenant.
I see. And it looks like a couple follow-up questions here. Must we buy that tenant, or can we have it for free?
So a tenant in Azure Active Directory is by default free. It's free up to 500,000 objects. And it's your forever. So if you sign up for it and you verify it, it is yours to keep. It's only going to be if you need one of the premium features, you would actually have to start paying for it. Or obviously, if you're using one of the other Azure features or Office 5. But Azure Active Directory by itself is by default free.
Great. Okay. Next question here from Usman. In Azure AD, what options are available for auditing and reporting on user objects with respect to identity management, access level, last access period, activity trail, etc.?
Ah, excellent question. Yeah, so with Azure Active Directory, we have security reports. And with the free version of it, we give you some of the basic reports so you can see exactly which users we have, when have they logged in, etc. As part of Azure Active Directory Premium, we give you a lot of reports, which includes machine learning reports. And with that, we can do things like, hey, this user actually logged in from two different locations. That is, if they would have used an airplane, would have taken 9 hours, but they logged in with just a 3-minute time difference. This, it looks suspicious. We can also do machine learning, say this user only logs in from Windows machines with Internet Explorer 10, but suddenly I got one login from a Mac using Google. That looks a little bit odd for this user's past experiences. We also working together with the digital unit, crime unit in Microsoft. So we actually have a lot of information on which machines are infected by bots, and we can report on that as well. So yes, we have a lot of that available in Azure Active Directory.
Great. Next question here from Mendenhall. To allow customers to access your Office 365, is it possible to populate Azure Active Directory with customers, then allow them to connect to companies to the company's O365 as external users?
So I assume that with this, you're looking for customers in a different tenant rather than being your own Office 365, since we're talking about external users. There are a few scenarios in here we allow already today called guest users, where you can invite a user from a different tenant. So SharePoint is a common example where you invite a user from a different tenant. And more things are coming in this area to make it easier to organize and work between companies.
Account deprovisioning. So would you be able to walk through just at a high level what the account deprovisioning process is for Azure AD?
Yes. So it's all driven from your on-prem Active Directory. So your master is by default on-prem Active Directory. So you delete the user in Active Directory. We will see that during synchronization that user has been deleted. That will synchronize up to Azure Active Directory. And by default, we will do a soft delete. That is, we're deleting the user, but we're keeping around for 30 days. And that will actually keep the mailbox in case that was an accidental delete. You can actually go back to your on-prem Active Directory, find the user in the recycle bin, undelete the user, and everything will be back to normal in that case. If you're connecting us with other SaaS applications, such as Salesforce, for example, in that case, as part of this soft delete, We will also go into Salesforce and we'll disable the account so the user won't be able to log into any other SAPS applications as well.
Great. So next question in here from Olson. Can you import IDs from different Force even if you have an identical SAM account name or user ID?
Oh, yes. It all depends on what is it you want as the end goal. It could be that they have identical SAM account name because they actually are the same user. In that case, we want to join them. But it could be that after merge acquisition, for example, it happens to be used to have the same SAM account, the same SAM account name, and they actually are different users. And that was the, one of the pages I showed you in the wizard, where say, how are you, your users represented? And in this case, I could have selected the first option, my users, even if they have identical attributes, they are still different. So now we would have selected the first option, and we would never have joined on SAM account name. So that works actually fine, if you want to.
Okay. It looks like there's a couple questions here around migrating ADFS to password sync. Is that feasible, and if so, how?
Yes, that is absolutely feasible. The first step you would do in that case is obviously you take Azure Directory Sync and start synchronizing the passwords instead. And once you are done with that, so we have all the users are prepared, you just run a PowerShell commandlet that basically transform the user from, the domain itself from being a federated domain back to what is called as a managed domain. And in that case, the passwords that we have will be used instead. So it's actually a quite simple process. You probably want to do it over a weekend, just so you can fall back if required. But yes, it's absolutely possible and it's quite easy. And it's documented.
Great. Okay. So next question here from Martin. We need to sync our client users from their AD to their SharePoint instance on the Azure server. What is the best way to do this?
So to synchronize to any of the Office 365 workloads, regardless if they are Exchange or SharePoint or OneDrive or any of the other workloads, you always go through Azure Active Directory. To establish AD sync or Dir sync in the middle and just synchronize them up to Azure Active Directory. And from Azure Active Directory, as soon as you license a user, so in this case SharePoint, then Azure Active Directory will make sure that those workloads will get access to the identities. So it's not like all Office 365 workloads actually have access to all the identities. They will only have access to the identities that's been licensed for their use. So you have to go synchronize Azure Directory, license the user, and then the user will appear in SharePoint.
Great. And another question here around concurrent sessions, or actually rather a couple questions here on concurrent sessions. How many concurrent sessions can be handled with a free or a premium Azure AD subscription?
So concurrent session. I'm not sure I really follow the question with concurrent sessions. If you're looking at from a synchronization perspective, which I talked a lot about, it's obviously only one, but I assume it's more like users. And in that case, it's virtually unlimited. There's no built-in limited number of sessions you can establish when it comes to federation or users. If the user is there, you can definitely have a connection for that user.
Great, thanks. It looks like the last question here, can you just sync a child domain, or is it the whole forced only?
You can do both. So part of the filtering, so when we walk you, when I walk you through the wizard, by default, we will assume you want to synchronize the entire forest. But if you want to, you just go to filtering, and that's a post-configurations step, and just go into a UI and just select, hey, here's the domains I want to synchronize, and you can absolutely unselect your parent forest, and you can do filtering based on domains and OUs. And if you want to know how to do that, just go back to the documentation, whack, whack, aka.ms, whack, AAD Sync, and you'll find a topic saying filtering that will show you exactly how to do that.
Great. Well, we're just about at the top of the hour here, so I want to thank everyone in the audience for attending. And Andreas, thanks again for leading today's session.
Thank you.
Just to note, a few folks came in late. We're asking about the presentation, so we will be making Andreas's presentation available to all of you via email.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks all. Have a good day.